appreciate the time and effort everybody puts into contributing to the services around here. We've got, you know, you think about when we first showed up to now, we have so many people involved in scheduling things. So many people have taken on those roles. We've got different people involved in special music and just, you know, string quartet. I was saying I almost expected a bride to come walking down the aisle with a string quartet going this afternoon, but it was great. And I tease about it, but it really is neat to be able to have that. And I know that work goes into all of these specials and things like that. And so I very much appreciate everybody participating and putting the time in. And it really is appreciated. It is a great blessing to myself and my family, and I'm sure you all. And it definitely is not something that I could do on my own. It would be a very dull service indeed if I was the only one contributing. So I appreciate everybody being involved and everybody coming alongside and helping, and it's been great. I really appreciate that a lot. So many things happen without us having to do anything. That's the way it ought to be, but that takes everyone getting involved. And so I'll stop now and move on to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 this afternoon. As we prepare ourselves for the Lord's table, I wanted to look into exactly what the Lord accomplished for us when he became our sacrifice. So Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to read verses 1 through 22, and then we're going to look into our entrance before the presence of God, our entrance by Christ's blood. So Hebrews chapter 10 says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies may be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them which are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is also a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." This afternoon, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper together, I want you to see from Hebrews chapter 10 four truths about our entrance before the person and presence of God. Four truths about our entrance before the person and presence of God. And notice, first of all, the attitude of our entrance. The attitude of our entrance. It says in verse 12, "But this man, after that he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The attitude of our entrance before the person and presence of God is an attitude of boldness. We can have boldness in coming into the presence of Almighty, infinite Creator God, the King of the universe. Think about this. Just in Old Testament examples, this is something that neither Nehemiah nor Esther could enjoy with their earthly kings. Nehemiah, when he found out the condition of Jerusalem, it affected him. He was depressed. He was sorrowful. And he was afraid when the king asked him, Nehemiah, what is bothering you? Because if you appeared before the king in that state, he could have you put to death. You didn't just show up before the king in any state you were. You didn't tell the king your problems. You didn't show up depressed or sad or anxious. No. You weren't allowed to do those kinds of things. And you remember when Mordecai said to Esther, listen, maybe God has put you in a place for such a time as this, and you need to do something for us. All your brethren are going to be killed. And Esther said, wait a minute, I can't just walk in there. Because if the king would not extend his scepter, she would have been put to death. You didn't just have open audience with the kings of this earth. I don't know if you would want to or not, but I would encourage you to keep an unannounced appointment with the President of the United States. Just drive your car up to the White House and knock on the door and see if they'll let you in. You won't even get close. But we have, through Christ, before the Almighty, infinite Creator God, who is holy and righteous, we have boldness to come into His presence, to seek His face. That's the attitude of our entrance that Christ has purchased for us by His blood. We can come to the Heavenly Father. We can call Him Abba Father. We have that boldness in verse 19 that we just don't have really with anyone else. But we can have boldness in coming to our Heavenly Father. Notice also the admission for our entrance. The admission for our entrance. It says in verse 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now where remission or forgiveness of these is, there is no more offering for sin. The author of Hebrews is arguing that Jesus Christ is superior as the one and only offering, the final offering for sin. You don't have to offer over and over again. He's superior to that. He's the great high priest. He says then, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, the holy of holies, by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. The price of our admission into the Holy of Holies, the presence of Almighty, infinite Creator God, is and was the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the price of our admission. We pay admission for all sorts of things. You have to pay to park just about everywhere now. You have to pay admission to get into the fairs. You've got to pay admission to get everywhere. Christ bought our ticket into the presence of God with His blood. He paid the price for us to have that boldness to boldly come before a heavenly, holy Father. The admission for our entrance was by the blood of Jesus, which is precious and priceless without spot. And then also notice the access of our entrance. The attitude of our entrance is boldness. The admission for our entrance was the blood of Christ. The access of our entrance. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. We have unprecedented access. Unprecedented access. Access to the presence and the person of God like this was wholly unknown to the Old Testament saint. You just didn't walk in to the Holy of Holies. You were struck dead if you did that. The high priest there, he had to do it under certain terms. He had to do it at certain times. You couldn't just walk in past that veil and expect the glory of God not to strike you dead. Think about it. Regardless of Jew or Gentile, we have, through Christ, unprecedented access to a holy, righteous, almighty, infinite Creator God. In the Old Testament law, you'll discover that those that were lame, those that had issues and you know, imperfections were not allowed access. But we have, whether we are Jew or Gentile, whether we are whole or lame, we have unprecedented access to Almighty God. Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 through 29 say, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. That's a new thing. There were no female priests. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Through Jesus Christ, through the blood which he shed for us, we are believer priests. We have unprecedented and universal access to God through our great high priest, Jesus Christ. It means it doesn't matter if you're the pastor, the deacon, it doesn't matter what you are. If you are a Christian, if Christ has saved your soul, you have unprecedented access to Almighty God. Not only that, unlimited access. Unlimited access. This is what the author of Hebrews is saying here. It's not once a year. It's not only during special events or occasions. It's not just during festivals or feasts. No, this is a new way, and it's a living way. It's alive. It's always open. The door is always open. We have an ever-present priest. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You don't have to make an appointment to come before your heavenly Father, because your great high priest, Jesus Christ, who paid for your access by his blood, is alive and allows you through even now. It doesn't matter when, it doesn't matter what time, you can access him anytime, anywhere, any place. This is what Jesus, I might be getting ahead of myself, but this is what Jesus was explaining to the woman at the well when he went to the woman at the well and she perceived he was a prophet because he knew everything about her. She tried to change the subject and she tried to talk about, well, what is the right way to worship God? You know, you Jews, you believe you need to worship at the temple. We Samaritans, we've got our own thing going on over here. So what's right? Is it right for us to worship here, or is it right for you to worship there? And Jesus said, there's a day coming, and now is, when they that worship the Father will worship him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't matter where. I'm going to make it so you can worship God anywhere. Not that temple, not this temple, but you yourself, the book of Ephesians says, become a temple of Almighty God. We have unlimited, unprecedented access through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then notice not only the attitude of our entrance, the admission of our entrance, and the access of our entrance, the atonement bought our entrance. The atonement bought our entrance. It says in verse 20 and 21, by a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. He goes on after that. But Jesus, the Bible says, was the veil. His flesh is equated with the veil here. Jesus Christ on the cross was torn for us in our place. He was the veil which God tore in two, the veil that limited access between the holy place and the holy of holies. Isaiah chapter 53 says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." One commentator, in reflecting on what the author of Hebrews says here about the veil, the flesh, he says, "The veil, a most instructive feature of the temple, was blue, scarlet, and purple, and spoke of Christ in his incarnation. The blue is the color of heaven, and it suggests to us, surely, that Jesus was the Son of God, the one who came from heaven itself. The scarlet reminds us that he was the Son of Man, the last Adam, for the very name Adam means red. But what about the purple? If we take a measure of the blue and an equal measure of the red and pour the one into the other and mix the two so that it is impossible to tell where one ends and the other begins, that's the purple. In the person of the Lord Jesus, deity is perfectly blended with humanity, and humanity is perfectly blended with deity so that it is impossible to tell where the one ends and the other begins. Jesus Christ was the veil that was torn for us. And when he died on the cross, when he gave up his life on the cross, the veil, which was as thick as your hand, was torn from top to bottom, and God opened up our access. The atonement bought our entrance. His work on the cross, he was torn, crucified in our place, so that the veil no longer separated us from God. And then notice also the appeal then, to make our entrance. It says in verse 21, "And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." We need to make our entrance with the right attitude. With the right attitude. I found it interesting what R.A. Torrey said in his book, The Power of Prayer. He said, "I was brought up to pray. I was taught to pray so early in life that I have not the slightest recollection of who taught me to pray. Nevertheless, prayer to me was largely a mere matter of form. There was little real thought of God and no real approach to God. Even after I was saved, yes, even after I entered the ministry, prayer was largely a matter of form. But the day came when I realized what real prayer meant. I realized that prayer was having an audience with God. That prayer was actually coming into the presence of God and asking and getting things from Him. The realization of that fact transformed my prayer life. Before that, prayer had been a mere duty to me, and sometimes a very irksome duty. But from that time on, prayer has not been merely a duty, but a privilege. One of the most highly esteemed privileges of life. Before that, the question that I had was, how much time must I spend in prayer? But the thought that now possesses me is this, how much time may I spend in prayer without neglecting the other duties of life? Suppose some Englishman were summoned to Buckingham Palace to meet the king. He answers the summons and is waiting to be ushered into the presence of the king. What do you think that man would say to himself as he waited to be brought into the presence of his king? Do you think he would say, "I wonder how much time I must spend with the king"? No, he would rather think, "I wonder how much time the king will give me." Prayer is having an audience with the King of Kings, that eternal, omnipotent king, in comparison with whom all earthly kings are nothing. Would any intelligent person who realizes that fact ever ask himself, "How much time must I spend in prayer?" No, our thought should be, "How much time may I spend in prayer? How much time will the King give me?" We need to come with the right attitude. Do you realize what Christ has given you access to? That we might boldly approach the throne of the Almighty, Infinite Creator of the universe? Not only that, we get to come with full assurance. With full assurance. He says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith." Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." As I quoted earlier in John 4, verse 23, it says, "But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." You know what I love about those two verses? God is a rewarder of those that seek him diligently. God is seeking such to worship him. Sometimes going before the presence of God it's a matter of faith. To recall that God wants me here. God will reward my time here. God seeks such to worship him. God is pleased with me coming to him in prayer. Sometimes it's tempting and times of struggle, times of difficulty, maybe when you've failed and fallen, I've done it many times, sometimes it's tempted to neglect coming to the Father. But we get to come to him with full assurance. With full assurance of faith. Like the prodigal son coming back to his father. He had the whole story worked out in his head. He had it all figured out how he was going to appease and appeal to his dad. And his dad, before he even got to him, started running and hung on his neck and kissed him. That's our Heavenly Father. We get to come to our Father with full assurance of faith, with the right attitude, with full assurance, and then also with a current account. With a current account. He says, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Maybe you've heard it said this way. I've heard it said this way many times. We need to keep a short account of sin with God. We need to be quick to confess. We need to come to God like the psalmist did, as Stephen read this afternoon in Psalm 19, verses 12 through 14. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright and shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Listen, as we come to the table this afternoon, you should be able to come with your account current with the Lord. I do believe in self-examination and preparing our hearts and everything, but I don't believe that God necessarily intended Lord's Supper to be a quick confession. I think he expects that rather we be right with him during the week and come ready. You know, we need to have a current account. We need to have purity of activity also, a clean conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Warren Wiersbe said, we must prepare ourselves spiritually to fellowship with God. The Old Testament priests had to go through various washings and the applying of blood on the Day of Atonement. Also, during the regular daily ministry, the priests had to wash at the laver before they entered the holy place. The New Testament Christian must come to God with a pure heart and a clean conscience. Fellowship with God demands purity. And that's the message of 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Fellowship with God demands purity. Keeping a short account of sin before God. I love the way John puts it. These things I write unto you that you sin not. Don't sin. But if you do, you have an advocate. Take your sins to him. The attitude of our entrance through the blood of Christ is boldness. Boldness. I dare say you don't really have this kind of boldness with anyone else but your Heavenly Father. Just about everyone else, unless you're just not very aware, you have to make sure you're not inconveniencing them when you... Maybe at mom or dad's house, you get to just walk in and presume upon them. But just about everybody else, you don't have that kind of access. But with the Almighty, Infinite Creator God, you have boldness. You have the blood of Jesus Christ that paid your admission into His presence. You have unprecedented and unlimited access. It's incredible when you dwell on and meditate on the access we have to our God through Christ. He is a very present help in time of trouble because He's literally there anytime you need Him. Unprecedented, unlimited access. The atonement bought our entrance. He was torn for us that we might enter through the veil, that is His flesh. And then, of course, the appeal is then, knowing all of these things, make your entrance into His presence. As it says in Hebrews chapter 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How often are you availing yourself of your entrance before the Heavenly Father, the King of the universe? Do you ask yourself, how much time do I have to give Him? Or rather, is it, how much time will He give me? Unlimited, unprecedented access through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for what You've done for us. Lord, we pray that You would give us that full assurance that we might come to You, that we might worship You in spirit and in truth. And as we spend time around Your table this afternoon, Lord, that we would reflect on what it cost our Savior to purchase us that much access to Your presence. Thank You, Father, for loving us in spite of our sins. Thank You for sending Your Son. It's in His name we pray. Amen.